evening, Bethlehem and saints of God. Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, or maybe even good night, or whatever time you're tuning into our Wednesday Zoom Bible study. It is April the 24th, 2024, and my name is Pastor Michael Eaton, and I want to welcome you to tonight's study. Before we get into our study, I always like to take this opportunity to extend a personal invitation for those that are looking on either in Zoom or on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and you're living in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, and you do not have a church home. You know, we've been praying that God would add 25 new families in the year of 2024, and perhaps you are an answer to our prayer. So if you are in Paul's Valley or Garvin County and you do not have a church home because maybe you just moved here, or maybe you've accepted Christ through a television, radio, or internet ministry, and they've been telling you that you need to find a church home, and perhaps this is a sovereign moment, a sovereign time, and to which God is guiding you here to the Bethlehem Baptist Church. We're located at 311 North Dunbar. Again, we're located at 311 North Dunbar. We'd love to see your face in the place. Visit our website at heargodsword@bethlehem.com. Again, our website is heargodsword@bethlehem.com. And there you can get to know us. And once you get to know us, why don't you come on and join us this coming Sunday at the 11 a.m. service. Come as you are. And we would love to see your face in this place. And again, perhaps you are an answer to our prayer and we are an answer to your prayer. On Wednesday, a Zoom Bible study, here's how it goes for you first timers. We're going to have an opening prayer. We're going to have some announcements, the reading of the word, the introduction video, the Bible study, the invitation, and the benediction. And it's supposed to be a time from 6 p.m. Central Standard Time to 6:40. However, we allow the Spirit to work and move as He will. In Jesus' name. So let's go ahead and open up in a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you. We praise you. We glorify your holy name, Father. We're reminded of what the angels are singing in that heavenly hymn, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." We're reminded that it's a perpetual holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, was and is to come. Father, you're truly worthy to be praised. And as a result of that, we're always reminded of how we fall short of your holiness. And we ask you, Lord, to forgive us our sins, for we are, as the prophet said, a people of unclean lips, Father, and unclean hearts. And we just ask that you forgive us of our sins, wash us and cleanse us, that we might be in right relationship with you, that we might be in right fellowship with you, that we may tonight hear a word from the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and praise the Lord. Amen and praise the Lord. A few announcements. As always, Bethlehem, we are reminded, and we always talk about keeping the main thing the main thing. Jesus said that my house should be called a house of prayer, and we're making it a house of prayer. I send out the prayer list on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and we fast and pray from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. on Fridays, and I want to challenge and encourage you to continue to do that. There are people who are dealing with some weighty matters on this prayer list, and it's our job to intercede on their behalf in Jesus' name. So we want you to pray throughout the week and fast and pray on Fridays in Jesus' name. A part of that fasting and praying on Fridays and interceding is for my 17th pastoral anniversary service, which is coming up on the first Sunday in May. The first Sunday in May, Pastor Reverend Edward Cochner is going to be at the 11 o'clock service. Reverend Chad Gray is going to be doing the 3 o'clock service. We're looking and excited about them coming, but we're praying and fasting and praying that God will be glorified in these 17 years of pastoral service at the Bethlehem Baptist Church, 20 years as a full-time pastor, and 10 more years added to that, 30 years of preaching. And we are so excited to just give God the glory, but I cannot take any glory from the story of these 20 years, because you know my testimony. The last thing I wanted to do was to be a preacher or a pastor. And but I just kept saying yes to God, and God just kept blessing us. And it's all his story. Everything that I have done, everything that I have accomplished, it's all him, because this is nothing that I could have thought or wanted for my life, or could have known to want for my life. And we just point up to him. He gets the glory for my story of the 17 years at the Bethlehem Baptist Church, 20 years in the pastorate, and all of the books I've written in these 17 years here. All of the books that I have written have been here at the Bethlehem or republished here. Every book that I've wrote is in print. And it's all because God sent me here. And I was able to focus on that part of the work and much other. So, but anyway, he gets the glory for my story. And our story, Sister Etan and I, we want this to be the same on the day of. And we always thank Bethlehem for being a blessing to me and my family throughout the whole year. Whereas Sundays, like May the 5th, is just the icing on the cake. And you know what? Pastor Etan likes icing too. So praise the Lord. We want to thank you for fasting and praying for this coming event in Jesus' name. We're excited about it. We're in the CAP series. And, you know, CAP, for those who just tuning in and you're not young and don't know what it means, CAP means to lie. And when someone says that you're capping, it means that you are lying or you're living a hypocritical lifestyle. And God reminded me throughout this series, all of the caps that I have, and I hadn't told you this in the series, where I got my affinity or love for hats was from my Uncle Junebug, who lived in Crowville, Louisiana. Every time I went down there, I would wear one of his caps. He had several. He had a collection, and now I'm following in his footsteps. And I told you that as I was teaching this, I was thinking about how I'm really capping with the cap, because I wear caps, and I'm really not, maybe not a fan of the team or something like that, but maybe a fan of the city. And this cap here, Seattle set cap, is one of those stories. I'm really not a fan of the team, but I did want Russ to cook when he was there. But my favorite sitcom of all time, The Frasier Crane Show, was located in Seattle. One of my other favorite shows of all time is West Wing, but because I'm a Cowboy fan, I probably would never buy a Washington hat. Some of the hats I get from the traveling, convention traveling. We went to Detroit twice, had our Congress of Christian Education there in Detroit. So this is a Detroit, so I'm a fan of the city, not necessarily of the team. This hat here is the Patriots. Everybody loves a winner. And of course, that's probably why I got this hat. I have not been to where the Patriots play. But everybody loves a winner, even though they are losing now. I have a cap. This cap here is the Bengals. Really just a Joe Burrow fan. He did an incredible job of leading his team to the Super Bowl. And he was one of the most sacked quarterbacks in that year and of all time. But he had led them to the Super Bowl. So fan of that. Now, I told you that many times I can't really wear those caps because I'm not really fans of the team. But this is the only cap that I could probably wear that I'm a fan of. But Jerry probably would say that's a little different. I think I paid $15 or less for all of my hats. This merch can cost a lot, but this is the only one I could probably wear and really mean it. Cowboy hat. This cap here is my favorite hat right now, cap. And surprisingly, for some of you, it's an Alabama hat. Well, we had our convention there, not convention, board meeting there in Birmingham, Alabama. And down the street, about an hour, is Tuscaloosa, Stephen A. Smith says, Alabama. But fan of the city, like the city. And of course, fan of the convention, but I think I like this because it's houndstooth. It's houndstooth. And I don't think I've ever seen a cap design like that. That's why I kind of like that. But the principle is as a Christian, when you have that Christian hat on, cap on, when you got saved, that meant that your lifestyle should match the cap. And we've been praying that God would not allow us to be a church that is capping. And the revival at Ecclesia, I mean, just it was just such an awesome time there at Ecclesia. And it was an awesome time and how God just confirms his word. If I could have asked him to preach of something that could help us to move forward in our vision. And by the way, we're supposed to get these t-shirts by Saturday. And if we get the t-shirts with the vision that we have written on it, if we get it Saturday, it will be in church that Sunday. Because Michael Ford told us in order to be an authentic witness, we have to have an authentic lifestyle. Remember, the Sunday school teacher talked about those Christian folk or church folk that comes to Brahms, and he was wanting to witness, but it messed up his witness because Christian folk are not living a Christian lifestyle. They're capping. They go to church. But the church is not in them, and they're capping, they're living hypocritical lifestyles. In order to be a witness, you have to be authentic, you see. Some of the caps I wear, I can't be an authentic witness for the organization, maybe even not the city. But the one cap I have is pastor or any crap that cap that has Christian. I think I'm a very, really good, authentic witness. So we're going to continue in this series. There's two messages left in the series. But we're going to continue tonight in this series as we're really preparing our church to be authentic. Witness, an authentic witness. Again, if you're living a hypocritical lifestyle, you really can't be a great witness. This whole series, we're shown that if you are lying, then you are a son of the devil. You belong to him because he lies and he speaks his native tongue. That's his native language. For he is a liar and the father of all lies. So it's very important that Christians are truth tellers. This month, we're examining Christian life to make sure that we're not capping, that we are truly saved, that we can truly be authentic witnesses as we want to move this vision to reach more in 2024 alone. And as we're writing the vision down, and we've gone through several messages in the series. And if you have not gotten this messages, you can go to our website, Hear God's Word at Bethlehem.com. Go down and click the Facebook tab. You have a link to my podcast. You can download all of these messages for free. We've talked about throughout this time, is Satan the father of capping or the father of lies? We saw Judas capping for the fathers of the elders, and Jesus told those elders and called them out for capping. They were over the temple. You would have never thought that these people were capping, but they were. And then we talked on a Sunday about Samson capping for fondness, or capping for love, and many Christians cap in their love relationships. They say that they are Christians, but they're living with someone. They are not married. And there are some who are having sex outside of marriage. That's capping. Because God called you as a single person when you gave your life to Jesus Christ, that you have no ownership on your body. You've been bought with a price. And he tells you to live holy sexually, or to save sex for marriage. And he tells you to get married. We live in a culture where people do not marry. The ones that want to get married are not supposed to get married. And I wrote a whole book about this issue, about our relationship. My latest book, Black Love Must Matter in the Bible. You pick that up at Amazon, at my Amazon author's page. And you can find that link on our Facebook page as well. But you'd be capping for love, capping for fondness, living a lifestyle in our love that is a lie. We saw how Peter was capping in front of people, thinking and saying he was all that in a bag of chips and dip, and God, Jesus called him out. And I told you about Ananias and Sapphira, and I put these two back in the series, and I said Ananias and Sapphira could go into the Hall of Fame of capping. We're going to talk about tonight Cain and capping in the family, and Sunday David capping gone too far. And we pray that this helps us to get ready to carry the vision that God has called us to do. As Michael said, all we have to do is repent, and God will relinquish the plans that he has for the Bethlehem Baptist Church and for you individually, in Jesus' name. The capping and the family tonight, Genesis chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. Genesis chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. And it reads as following. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let us go out to the field." While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." Tonight again, we're talking about Cain capping in the family. First point, a conspicuous invitation, a crime inflicted, and then a claim incited. It's a conspicuous invitation, a crime inflicted, and a claim incited. I want Christians to know today that Christians should repent and not cap about the sin in their lives. That's kind of what Michael, Reverend Ford, was saying last night, that we need to repent in Jesus' name. I'm reminded, I recently did a message about Cain on Word from the Lord TV. So we talked about his blood crying out in the same way of some of those who were killed. And we talk about in the Black Lives Matters movement. And we're going to look at this brief video, and then we'll get and to the Word.
After the fall, God banished Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden. Life was hard. Work was difficult, but God promised Eve that she would give birth to her own children. And soon it happened. Eve gave birth to a son and called him Cain. Cain was the firstborn. Then she had a second son and named him Abel. As the boys grew up, they showed interest in different things. Abel loved animals and became a shepherd. Cain, on the other hand, became a farmer and was growing plants and food for the family. Both Cain and Abel were supposed to pray to God and thank him for his provision. Abel loved God, and it showed by his beautiful offer he brought. He gave God his best sheep as a sacrifice. Cain brought some of his crop, probably not even his best. And God loved Abel's offering more. When Cain saw this, he became very jealous and angry. God seemed to like Abel more than he did Cain, and this stirred up more hatred in Cain's heart. One day, Cain told Abel that they should go out into the field. Cain's heart was wicked, and his jealousy made him do a very foolish thing. He planned to hurt Abel. He planned to kill his own brother. While in the field, Cain fought with his brother and killed him. Cain's jealousy turned his anger into rage, and in a foolish act, he murdered his own flesh and blood. Cain forgot that God knew everything, even that which he did in secret. Now Cain was really in trouble. God spoke to Cain. "Cain, where is Abel, your brother?" Cain was scared. Did God know?
"I don't know,"
Cain lied to God. "Am I supposed to guard my brother all the time?" God was not fooled. "What have you done? I know that you've killed your brother, Abel." God then cursed Cain and banished him. No longer would Cain be able to plant and harvest any crops, no matter how hard he worked. Even in this punishment, God protected Cain by placing a special mark on him. This mark meant that anyone who killed Cain would be severely punished. From that day on, Cain became a fugitive on the earth, settling in the land of Nod, far from the garden and far from God's pleasure.
Amen. And praise the Lord. Amen and praise the Lord. As always, we try to put you on the map. And as always, we always like to let you know on the maps where Jerusalem is. And here is Jerusalem right here in the middle, where all of the situation and wars and rumors of wars are going on today to this day. And I told you, as I have spoken about the Garden of Eden, we've been trying to figure out where it possibly was, because there are four rivers that runs in the land. And many theologians think it would have been back over here, right by the Persian Gulf there, as you can see. And you can see four rivers kind of coming together, and there's some area on the other end up in here, up near here, where they talked about four rivers. And the last time I preached about the Garden of Eden, I told you about how some could have traced now four rivers, two extinct now, they say, that could have run straight up here in Bethlehem. And every time I teach on this, we talk about the Fertile Crescent, and society and human history talks about the Fertile Crescent. And they believe this is where life all began. And I tell you that that Fertile Crescent ran across here and all the way back down towards Jerusalem, to which it could put the possible Garden of Eden and the three rivers that possibly could have run through here. But wherever that was, after they got kicked out of the Garden of Eden, and trouble began to come. And one of the troubles that happened was with Cain and Abel. We see here, that was a conspicuous invitation. Let's go to the field. And while they were there in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. And we give a little background information. You Bible readers know really what it could have been all about. It could have been about jealousy, yes. Bible said a brother is born for adversity, but a friend will stick closer than a brother. We know that Abel brought a sacrifice and Cain brought a sacrifice. God didn't like what Cain brought, and Abel's sacrifice was accepted. And I told you all kinds of theories behind why God accepted his sacrifice. And I've heard other theologians say that the reason why he accepted Abel's sacrifice is because it was a blood offering, whereas Cain did not sacrifice a blood offering. And that fits into what would happen after Abraham and how there had to be a blood offering. And we told you and talk about the temples, Solomon's temple and Zechariah's temple. And when Jesus came on the scene, it was Herod's temple because of the restoration of Zechariah's temple. We see that in all these temples and even in the tabernacle, there was a blood offering that was needed. So we believe that Cain tried to come to God the way he wanted to come to God, as opposed to the way God has called us to come. And that has ramifications even after the New Testament to this time, because some people try to come to God the way they want to come to God. They try to get to him through Buddhism, through Muslimism, and through Hare Krishnas. And people like Oprah Winfrey have been saying for years that there are many ways to God. And that's that Cain kind of worship. They want to come to God the way they want to come to God. But God says that you got to come through a blood sacrifice. And it started there, with Abel and at the beginning of civilization. It had to be a blood offering. And Jesus finished it there, in Jerusalem, when he died on the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. There must be a blood sacrifice. You see, Muhammad didn't die for you. And all the other leaders, Buddha didn't die for you. Jesus is the only one. And he says that I am the way, the truth, and the only way, a definite article. I am the only way that you can get to God. But yet we have a lot of Cain religions out there that try to get to God in all these other ways. And sadly, I've been sent here to let you know tonight that, or this evening, this morning, this afternoon, if you think that you can get to God in any other way than Jesus Christ, then your sacrifice will be rejected and you cannot enter into a personal relationship with God, and you will be lost for eternity if you think that you can come to God any old kind of way. And let me go ahead and talk to those who are church folk that go to Brahms. If you didn't hear Sunday school or my message Sunday, the Sunday school teacher wanted to witness there in Brahms. On a Saturday night, And somehow the conversation got turned to where they talked about Sunday and talked about them church folk as he was trying to get away into witnessing, of finding a bridge that Dr. Copeland talks about. And he had that bridge, but the bridge had washed out by the character and behavior of hypocritical Christians. He couldn't witness because they were hypocrites. And I'm here to tell you today that God does not accept that kind of offering. Hello, somebody. You can be in church, but not of church. And if you don't know Jesus and it don't change your character and behavior in the hat of Christianity, is not matching your character, then I dare I say today that God rejects your offering. God rejects your sacrifice, because the Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, and behold, all things have passed away. And we're trying to tell and inspire young Christians to go on up the King's highway and allow him to transform your character like he's transformed my character. I'm not capping, because God changed my character. I'm not lying and I'm not cussing the way I used to cuss, because God changed my character. He accepted my sacrifice by transforming me into the image of Jesus Christ himself. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And God does not accept the sacrifice of hypocritical Christians who say they're Christians, who go to church, but the church is not in them. They will be rejected in the same way. And you better watch these conspicuous invitations from hypocritical saints. Woo! Because they're the ones that put Jesus on the cross. They are the one. I told you under Judas how they were capping for the fathers. These folk were in church. They were over church. We say the temple. And they didn't even know Jesus. They crucified him. Don't accept any conspicuous invitations from the Cains. Don't try to get caught up with the Cains. Don't try to be in with the Cains. You know, there are some preachers and some nationally known who invite me to come and to be with them and to fellowship with them, but I can't, because it's a conspicuous invitation, because their character does not match up with what they preach in the Bible. And I will not spend time with Cain. Cain is not of my Christian tribe. Hello, somebody. And I will not accept a conspicuous invitation from folk who are not living for Christ. Woo! You can't hang with everybody that say that they love Jesus, because their actions say differently. You can't hang with preachers or Christians that say that they love Jesus and they're cheating on their wives, or they're cheating in other ways. You can't hang around with people who try to cheat God and be in an intimate relationship with them, because God says, as we talked about Samson and his conspicuous invitation of wanting to be in a relationship with a Philistine woman, and we took it back to the Corinthian church. Well, God says that they have an immoral lifestyle to not even to eat with such a one. Don't accept these kind of conspicuous invitation. Christian single woman, you know he ain't living for the Lord. I know you're drawn to him. I know you like a bad boy. I know you like guys that are gangsters, that gangster kind of mindset. You like them brothers. But them brothers ain't saved, because the fruit of the Spirit is what? Part of it is what? Kind. Hello, somebody. You've got to be kind. You've got to be nice. You don't want a man with a rough edge that says that he's not filled with the Spirit of God. in Jesus' name. And God says for you to stop accepting these conspicuous invitations in Jesus' name. And I told you why he died. Abel died. It says, Abel, by faith, offered God a better sacrifice than Cain. And by faith, he was commended as righteous when God gave approval of his gift. And it says, by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. Hello, somebody. His life echoes in eternity, and it speaks of faith and speaks to somebody today who's going through some trials and tribulations that they can't understand. Oh, Brother Abel says that God is able. Hello, somebody. And he's able to do, and Brother Michael quoted this last night, to do exceedingly abundantly above anything you ask, think, or imagine in Jesus' name. And for the Christian woman that's looking for a Christian man, God is able to manifest that man for you and either send him to you or to her, to you to him. Hello, somebody, in Jesus' name. And that's what happened with me. Not just preaching this, it happened to me. God sent Sister Eton to me in Jesus' name. And Abilene, hello, somebody, of all places. And it was by faith, because I was living by faith. I was not accepting conspicuous invitations. I didn't want to get caught up in and when they call the spies that honey trap. You see, Samson got caught up in the honey trap. And David's going to get caught up on Sunday in a honey trap where he used what you like, what you love, what you see. Yeah. Oh, and you accept conspicuous invitations, or you make conspicuous invitations. Hello, somebody. But if you live by faith, God will take care of your every need for a mate. Hello, somebody, for healing, for deliverance, to be set free from alcohol and drugs by faith. Abel says today that God is still able, and even though he is dead, he's speaking today on April the 24th, 2024. He's speaking today, because he offered a better sacrifice. That's what God wants. If we're going to carry out the mission of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in 2024, we've got to, and that's what Michael was talking about last night and Sunday, we've got to offer up a better sacrifice and come to God the way he says he must be come to. And we've got to stop this hypocritical capping lifestyle, especially if we're going to reach young folk. Hello, somebody. Especially if we're going to reach young folk. In Jesus' name. That next generation, we got to offer up a better sacrifice in Jesus' name. Talking about going to another level. Hello, somebody, in the revival there. We're going to have to offer up a better sacrifice in Jesus' name. But oh, Brother Cain was capping in the family. Talk about a conspicuous invitation, and it led to a crime inflicted. You see, Jesus had that conspicuous invitation to come to Jerusalem. In the same way Cain killed Abel, the religious leaders inflicted a crime on Jesus, because Abel offered up a better sacrifice. He offered up a blood sacrifice. And we can trace this crime there in the Garden of Eden to that hill called Golgotha, when they inflicted, a crime was inflicted upon Jesus. Jesus was as innocent, well, he was more innocent than Abel. Hello, somebody. But he was also the sacrifice. And it says, now Cain said to his brother Abel, let us go out to the field. And while they were there, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. I was praying as I was doing research that the authorities wouldn't look at my search engine, because I was, you know, I try to put every message in a picture. So I was trying to find a picture that would describe today's tonight's message. And they say a picture is worth 1,000 words. And that's why I try to put the message in a picture. There's always a picture in my PowerPoint of the message. And I put something like brother killing brother. And there were so many brothers who had killed brothers. It surprised me. But I thank God that I don't have any brothers. So they did search and they couldn't find a brother that I killed. Hello, somebody. But it surprised me how many brothers were attacking brothers. Cain attacked his brother and killed him. He inflicted a crime. And this is what we were talking about in the Black Lives Matters movement. When I use this text, he inflicted a crime against humanity. And that's what happens in the Black Lives movement. All these brothers being killed in the streets and their blood is crying out. They inflict a crime against humanity because everyone is made in the image of God, and that's why Black Lives Matters and all lives matters. Like I said, from the womb to the tomb, they're all lives matters because they're made in the image of God. And when someone is killed innocently, their blood cries out. Jesus, when he was killed, his blood cried out, Lord, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Hello, somebody. But he inflicted a crime against his brother. Matthew says, Matthew 23 and 35 says, and so upon you will come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of the righteous Abel. He's still speaking about him in Matthew, to Zechariah's son. It says, whom they murdered between the temple altar. Hello, somebody. Innocent blood cries out. And though nobody was there to see it, God saw it. And that's why we encourage those who are still waiting in the case. Breonna Taylor, her blood is crying out. In the case of Trayvon Martin, his blood is crying out. Justice has not been served. In the case of Philando Castile, his blood is crying out to the Lord. And as I tell you that we may not be able to get justice in the courts many times, but in the Supreme Court, I'm not talking about over the United States, oh, I'm talking about God's Supreme Court, when innocent blood is spilled, God will avenge in Jesus' name. And I know we've got some family here in the Paul's Valley Church whose brother was killed, and innocent blood is crying out to this day. And I pray, and that's a part of me that won't ever forget. God won't ever forget, and he judges those who spill innocent blood. My best friend, one of my best friends, Ray Jones, was named after one of those men whose blood was shed innocently here in Paul's Valley, in Jesus' name. Cain was capping. He thought he got away with a crime. I know I'm out of time, but let me continue on. The claim incited. It says, then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? I don't know. He replied, am I my brother's keeper? And speaking of that, there's one hat I need to get, and that's of the Colorado Buffaloes, where Dion is. And I need to get it not just because Dion was there, but because Coach Mack was there. And Coach Mack was one of the creators of Promise Keepers. Promise Keepers. And that was a call we had here in when I first came, a movement of men called My Brother's Keeper. And I would shout, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And the men would say, "Yes, I am. I am my brother's keeper." Cain tried to claim a claim of insight. Am I my brother's keeper? That's where he began to cap, because he knew he had killed his brother and he was trying to cap on God. How in the world can you try to cap on God when God asks you a question? Guess what? He already knows the answer to it. And what he's waiting for is for you to repent. Oh, and God is asking many of us today in the Bethlehem Baptist Church, where is your brother Abel? Oh, and he's trying to get us to repent. Repent of that private sin that we thought that we got away with. He's trying to get us to repent of what you did years ago when you slept with the preacher. Oh, what you did. Oh, when you cheated. What you did when you stole. What you did. And you never admitted the wrong. You never repented. Where is your brother Abel? Where is that person that did you wrong, that is not coming to church because of your actions and behavior? God wants you to go back and to repent to that brother, repent to that sister, and let them know that you were wrong, that you weren't right in what you said and what you did. And if it caused them, and it did cause them to stumble and cause them to stop coming to church, ask them to forgive you. Ask God first to forgive you, and then ask him to forgive you. Oh, forgive you, and invite them back to the household of the Lord, because you are your brother's keeper. In Jesus' name, it is your job to be concerned about your brothers and your sisters in the Lord. But don't you try to incite and try to cap on God. God already knows the answer. We're going to see this on Sunday with David, as he had to speak to David in what I call Shiphanes. And David was capping, oh, when he heard the story about the man that, oh, had one sheep, and the herder who had a lot of sheep, and he stole that sheep. Oh, and he said, "David, you the one." Hello, somebody. Oh, and he had to say it in such a way that David would repent. Hello, somebody. That's the difference between Cain, Judas, and David, and Peter. All those guys that I mentioned who were capping all repented of their sins. Hello, somebody. And God restored them. Asking, am I my brother? Yes, I am my brother's keeper. Genesis 4 and 10, I know I'm out of time, says, "What have you done?" Replied the Lord, "The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." Ooh. It's time for us to evaluate ourselves. And this is deep. What have you done? You say, "Preacher, I didn't kill nobody." But what have you done? Because that's an innocent brother crying out to the Lord. Because what you have done, you may have at times or one time been capping for the fathers, living a hypocritical lifestyle. And you cause people in your past to stumble. God is saying they've been crying out to me. And that's why I'm very, very, most people don't realize this, because I say it plain. I tell the truth plain. But I know that if I say something to attack someone from the pulpit, and that's why I preach series, because no one can accuse me of preparing a message into which some preachers do. We call it the bully pulpit. They prepare messages for people in the sanctuary that they think that are doing wrong. And they're doing the very same thing that I accused of a preacher doing when he was talking, quoting all the verses that his wife should do. And he never quoted a verse in our counseling session on what he should do. And he was causing her to stumble because our words are weighty. That's why I do series. You can't accuse me of preparing a message to fight in church. That many of us who have injured folk, now I'm saying, they're crying out. They cried out to me. And if you can, if the Holy Spirit is giving you somebody you need to go and talk to and repent from or repent to, repent to God first, and then go and repent to them. And also, this is a good time to deal with forgiveness. There may be somebody that did you wrong that you're holding. And if you're holding, guess what? If you're holding against your brother and sister for what they have done, that then you're worshiping Cain's way. God says of a Christian that we must forgive. This is a form of worship for us. And if we don't forgive our brothers, then God won't forgive us. You've got to offer God a better sacrifice than what you have been offering. And you must repent, because God wants to do some great things here at the Bethlehem Baptist Church. He's given us a vision. We've got to make sure that we are not worshiping God Cain's way. Cain's way was himself, his own way. And God is looking for us to not cap, to stop capping and offer him a better sacrifice. I'm out of time, Bethlehem and Saints of God. Tonight, before I leave, I always have to make sure that I extend at least one invitation, and that's to accept Jesus Christ. I told you that the way Abel offered a sacrifice of blood offering was a reflection of what Jesus would do. From our standpoint, about 2,000 years ago, there in Gethsemane, he was offered up as a blood sacrifice. And this was a better sacrifice, because no longer would we have to offer up a blood sacrifice of a lamb or any doves. This was a better sacrifice. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And if you are listening now, and you've been worshiping Cain's way, the way you wanted to worship, you thought your life was about you. You thought that you could go to church but not take church with you. You thought that church was only about Sunday morning, an hour or 2 hour service, when God says tonight, true church is 24 hours a day, a representation of who he is. That's the better sacrifice. In order to even be able to do that, you've got to worship God Abel's way. Pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you are God's only son. And I believe, as I've learned tonight, that there are not many ways to God, but there's one way to God, and that's through you, Jesus. And I come giving my heart, mind, soul, and life over to you, because I believe you're God's only son, that you died for my sins, was buried, and raised again on the third day so that I could be raised today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, and you're anywhere near Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, I want to invite you to your new family in Christ. We're located at 311 North Dunbar, right here in the heart of Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. And we are your new church home. And we want you to come this coming Sunday. And after I preach, I want you to come down and let me know that you pray to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and that you are ready to be baptized. And we will welcome you into the body of Christ. As a matter of fact, we're praying for you. We've been praying for you. You're one of the 15 we're praying for that will get saved and be baptized in Jesus' name. So I want to see you here this coming Sunday at the 11 o'clock service. Better yet, why don't you come at 10 o'clock for Sunday school? But whatever time you come, I want you to come. Let me know you prayed that prayer for the first time. Well, Bethlehem and Saints of God, we want to thank you for joining us tonight. As always, we always challenge you to stay connected. We live in a fast-moving, very distractive kind of lifestyles that we live. You got to make an effort to stay connected to God's person. That's through prayer. Last night, Michael Ford said, God is calling you to get up early, spend time with him in prayer and study of his word. Stay connected to God's person, stay connected to God's precepts. And you can do that through this study, through Sunday school, through personal prayer and Bible study. Stay connected to God's person, stay connected to God's precepts, and stay connected to God's people. That's where we come in. God does say, forsake not the assembly together of believers, regardless of what's going on in our culture and our society, whatever sicknesses are going on. We've got to stay connected, church. In Jesus' name, shall we pray? Father God, we thank you, Lord. We praise you for your word tonight. And we pray, Father, that you put your hedge of protection around us, that you keep us safe from all harm and danger until we meet again. And the people of God said, amen, and praise the Lord. Bethlehem and Saints of God, you are dismissed in Jesus' name.